This is Jay Sekulo. Breaking news, a big court win for the president in California.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. And we've got big news. I mean, really significant. Of course, there's news on top of news. So I want to encourage everybody that's listening, call your friends, tell them to listen. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, get this information out. Really important. We're going to discuss something that didn't get as much attention as it should have last night because there is so much news. But there has been a major victory in the United States District Court in California on what was an incredible challenge aimed at keeping the President of the United States off the ballot. And this was this requirement that the state of California passed that in essence, and this is what's so critical here, that in essence, understand this, put an additional requirement to the Constitution's what they call presidential qualification clause into law. The Constitution, let's put the clause up. Yeah, we'll send it to me here in the chat. I'm going to read you the clause that's at issue here. But this requirement that tax returns be added, this is what they try to do here. And I want you to understand this. If you don't disclose your tax returns, we're not allowing you on the ballot. That violated freedom of association, freedom of speech. It violated the Equal Protection Clause. It violated the Presidential Qualification Clause. A U.S. District Court last night, and they indicated, the judge indicated this last week, that it would be coming. But until you see the order, you never know. We got the written opinion. It is a significant, significant constitutional victory. You're going to get a lesson in the Constitution on today's broadcast because we're going to get into this in great detail. But let me first say this. Again, what was at stake? It was an attempt to change the laws, to change the rules by the left, to add qualifications to running for president that are not in the Constitution itself. So that understand what's at play when you do that. That's not in the Constitution itself, yet they were trying to change the laws and modify the rules for qualification to be on a ballot. You know what impact that would have in the United States? It would be really, frankly, unprecedented. Harry, how big of a win here? I by the way, I will say, I think that if this is appealed, and I suspect it will be, we will win at the Ninth Circuit. If it ended up in the Supreme Court, we will win at the Supreme Court. Harry?
This is a tremendous victory because the statute at issue, the California statute, was transparently illegal and unconstitutional. And it was really aimed at only one person. California claimed that the release of one's tax returns was indeed customary. The judge looked at the facts, and since 1913 up until 1973, no sitting president had released his taxes to the public. So I think it is clear beyond question that California was attempting to change the rules in midstream, and they were attempting to change the rules in violation of the Constitution. So the judge quite correctly issued a preliminary injunction enjoining the enforcement of this particular statute. Of course, there will be appeals later.
Yeah, they say they may even do those appeals on an expedited basis. But let me tell you what's at play here. And this goes to other issues we're going to talk about today. Adam Schiff just now stated that if the White House doesn't comply with the subpoenas that they've issued and other individuals don't comply, State Department and others, that that's obstruction as a basis, could be an embasement for an impeachment proceeding. You know what's interesting about that? Since when is following the constitutional mandates, because there are significant issues constitutionally raised by this, when is following constitutional obligations a basis for obstruction? It's absurd. It's weaponizing the Constitution. We don't allow that in the United States of America. We're taking a break. We come back, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Your reaction to this win, your reaction to the latest attempt to weaponize the Constitution and to turn it into basically a document that if you follow what it says, I just said and made a statement that arguing that following the constitutional mandates is obstruction and absurd. Read Article 2. That's what they need to be doing. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
You watching, a lot of you listening. We want to encourage you to share this with your friends as we are getting into this issue. If you're just joining us, we have an opinion entered yesterday. U.S. District Judge Morrison England, the case is Griffin versus Padilla. What it really is a case, also the case of Donald J. Trump for president and Donald J. Trump in his capacity as private citizen versus Padilla. The case involves a challenge to a law put in place in California. I want you to hear what this is, that added a requirement to the Constitution, to Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, which is the qualification clause. It says this: no person except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. There it is. Clear as can be. Those are the qualifications for president, to run for president. How clear could it be? Yet California says, well, no, to appear on the ballot, though, we want to add a little different requirement. You got to release your tax returns, which, by the way, think about this. There weren't even federal income taxes at the time of the adoption of the Constitution. I mean, how about that? I mean, at the level of what we, this is all of this is absurd. They're making up rules at the end of the game here, Harry.
Absolutely. And as the judge correctly points out, if California gets its way, what prevents another state from demanding the president's health records or his birth certificate or his high school diploma or his college transcript as a predicate for running for office? The Constitution is quite clear, quite simple, quite straightforward. Yes. And President Trump meets the constitutional requirements for running for president of the United States. Everyone knows the president is over the age of 35. He is indeed a natural-born citizen. And it is clear as day that he can run for president constitutionally. Yes. And so what we have here is a transparent attempt by the left rewrite the United States Constitution. Why? Because they dislike this particular president and they suffer from what might be called the Trump derangement syndrome.
Let me also say this. Let me get a quote from the judge. It is not the job of the courts, however, to decide whether a tax return disclosure requirement is good policy or makes political sense. Those are questions delegated to the political branches of the federal government, that is Congress and the president, because if there was a law passed, the president could sign it or he could veto it. under Articles 1 and Article 2 of the United States Constitution. Those are the branches that make the law. Courts created under Article 3, this is a lesson for Adam Schiff, by the way, and Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler. They need to be listening to this as well. Courts created under Article 3 of the United States Constitution are not concerned with political victories or who may or may not win. Instead, it's the court's job to make sure the Constitution wins. The victory here last night was for all of us in our constitutional republic. It was a victory. It is a victory for the Constitution. That is what it's play here. But I will tell you this. I'm going to Fan Bender, our Director of Governmental Affairs. I'm watching these press conferences as this news is all breaking. And they're saying, Adam Schiff just said, we should get this bite. That the White House not responding to their subpoenas is obstruction. And that could be a count for an impeachment. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. There are serious constitutional issues raised, including executive privilege and others, raised by these subpoenas. And do you not think that we, as the President's counsel or the White House, as the White House counsel to the Office of the Presidency or the Department of Justice, have a legitimate interest in making sure there's not a waiver of privilege or violation of constitutional requirements and mandates? So they're weaponizing the Constitution. If you exercise executive privilege of the Constitution, that's a violation. That is absurd. It is dangerous to the republic. But you know what's happening here. Fan, I'm going to go to you in a second here. Let me take you through this in a really quick timeline. There is a so-called whistleblower complaint, right? Who has primarily no firsthand knowledge. You know, most of the information in the report's not firsthand knowledge. You got the whole, you know, hearsay thing. And then there's some, supportedly that is, but it appears this individual is not on a call, which is the whole gravamen of this whole issue. So first it was quid pro quo. Then, wait a minute, there's no quid pro quo because the transcript was released. Oh, it's not the, oh, then it was the president's putting pressure on the government, but there's no quid pro quo. Then it's the cover up. And then I say to myself, cover up? We released the transcript. So what exactly are you covering up? Okay, then it goes to, now what is it? Stonewalling. So they're already going off of the document itself. They don't want to stick to the four corners of the document, then they are moving into the land of, if you don't do what we say, you're obstructing.
Well, that's really the tie here, Jay. I mean, this is just the latest in a long string of attempts to do anything they can to overturn, I would tell you, the will of the people. Of course, the president was the winner in the ruling last night, but so were the American people. Jay, first of all, I think it's so refreshing to see a judge stay within the bounds of the power granted to them by Article 3 of the Constitution and deferring to the Article 1 and Article 2 branches and the authority the Constitution gives them. Jay, the American people spoke, and this was an effort to undermine them. Yep. And I would tell you this, on the question of subpoenas and depositions, Jay, another thing that was refreshing to me, how about Secretary Pompeo saying, look, those documents do not belong to my employees. Leave them alone. Come to me. I will respond to your queries in an appropriate fashion, but leave my employees alone.
Yeah, I want to play for you what Adam Schiff said, because this ties into, it ties exactly into this California case. All that, they're trying to change all the rules. Understand what's at play here. They are trying to change all of the rules that are in place on these issues. So how do you respond to that? We go to court. And guess what, Adam Schiff? Breaking news alert. If we think something's unconstitutional or violates executive privilege, we will challenge it. If Rudy Giuliani, if the conclusion of Rudy's lawyer in consultation with other lawyers is that there is attorney-client information contained in the documents they're requesting, guess what? You say you don't recognize attorney-client privilege. I'll tell you what we say. We will go to court to defend attorney-client privilege if necessary. Same thing on executive privilege, if necessary. I can't speak for the White House on that. But if it was a constitutional issue that relates to my area, that's exactly what we would do. But I'm going to tell you something. Understand what's at play here. Listen to what Representative Schiff actually said. Here it is.
We are concerned that the White House will attempt to stonewall our investigation, much as they have stonewalled other committees in the past. It's why I say the White House needs to understand that any action like that, that forces us to litigate or have to consider litigation, will be considered further evidence of obstruction of justice.
There you have it. So let me break this down. We are concerned that the White House will attempt to stonewall our investigation. I'm going to go to Harry on this. Stonewall the investigation. You get a question. You get a subpoena. It may cover executive privilege. If the White House decides it's protected by executive privilege, how does that stonewall their investigation? It's just simply complying with constitutional norms and mandates.
Absolutely. And so House Speaker Pelosi suggested at today's news conference that there are three co-equal branches of government. And so it is clear beyond question, pursuant to the Constitution, that the legislative branch does not have an unlimited right to investigate the executive branch. But Adam Schiff, nonetheless, believes that he has an unlimited right to investigate the president. And if the president seeks to exercise his constitutional authority within the meaning of the Constitution, then according to Adam Schiff, this constitutes stonewalling. We all know that Adam Schiff's analysis, properly understood, constitutes nothing more than nonsense. He is trying to rewrite the Constitution, just like the California state government attempted to rewrite the Constitution with respect to the qualifications for president. And so all American people should be alarmed at the left's attempt to rewrite the Constitution and to effectively criminalize the exercise of constitutional authority within the meaning of the Constitution. So this cannot stand, and all of the American people who are impartial should rise up and oppose this effort.
So here's an interesting quote. I'm going to read right from the opinion here because I think this sets the tone for what we're dealing with. At base, the act, talking about this presidential so-called Transparency Act, which is now struck as unconstitutional, by the way, the act seeks to punish a class of candidates who elect not to comply with disclosing their tax returns by handicapping their access to the electoral process. This is plainly impermissible. So how could it be any different? Ask yourself that. How could that be okay? And the answer is, it can't be okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're taking a break. But I am going to stay live through on our social media platforms. We're going to stay live. We're not going to anything. We got so much to cover. We're going to cover that. Those of you listening on radio, we'll be back right after this commercial break. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. It is a republic. That's what she, that's the Ben Franklin quote. If you can keep it. What they tried to do in California was not allow us to keep it, but guess what? We won. When we come back from the break, I'm going to take your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. And going into the break, I've got a bit of breaking news, and then we'll share that with radio when we come back here.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Ooh, I heard it through the grapevine. Not much longer would you be mine. Oh, I heard it through the grapevine.
We're going to have a little fun on this broadcast today, too. And I got a real special bonus at the end of the broadcast for you. Our band got together yesterday. I mean, with no notice, we actually probably played the song about four times and laid it down as a track. And we're going to play the video for you. We had a lot of fun doing this. Heard it through the grapevine, since everything seems to be hearsay on this. And I heard this and the obstruction that. We're going to get into this. We're have a little fun with it, too. But let me tell you what's at stake. You look at this California opinion, huge win for the Constitution. Huge win for the American people on ballot access. I mean, very, very significant. But then Adam Schiff makes this statement today that if you don't do what we say, Mr. President, if your White House doesn't do what we say, Mr. President, Mr. Giuliani, if you don't do what we say, that's in grounds for impeachment. As if the attorney-client privilege does not exist. And by the way, they put that out there, that the Congress doesn't recognize attorney-client privilege. Really? Well, let me tell you, go test that one in court. So you understand what this is. I mean, you understand what's at play with all of this. But I want to give you a reality as to where we are right now. I'm going to take calls at 800-684-3110. We're going to respond to all this. 800-684-3110. Jerry's calling from Rhode Island. Jerry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, team.
Yep.
Jay, how come some of these frivolous arguments that are clearly don't have a foundation and you know you're going to win, how come they get past the front gate of the court, causing us taxpayers to have to pay for it, or the defendant having to pay to go argue a frivolous game?
Jerry, in this one, we had to file a lawsuit. The only way to win the case in California was to go to federal court. Now, if we also, and I'll tie it right into the subpoena issue here, if we believe that the subpoena request violates attorney-client privilege or executive privilege, that has to be evaluated and determination be made whether that will then be challenged in court. And that is the process upon which this goes. That is the process upon which this should go if we are dealing with the issues like this, which we are. And we're not going to just waive constitutional privileges, Harry, because that sets a horrible besides President Trump, it sets a terrible precedent for future presidents as well. There's a lot of institutional interest at stake here, and you can't be bullied and intimidated by these congressmen.
Jay, you're absolutely right. If we allow Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi to investigate without limits, this then means that the executive branch's power will crumble in the face of legislative demands. And it's important to keep in mind that those demands, basically at the very moment we speak, are virtually unlimited. Virtually every single cabinet officer, every member of the executive branch, according to Adam Schiff, must now testify and give testimony or be deposed.
Yep.
This arguably constrains the president's Article 2 powers within the meaning of the Constitution. So Nancy Pelosi has gotten on her high horse today and proclaimed her love for the Constitution. I would agree with you that they should read it.
Yeah, I think that's right. They should read it. All right, let me say this. We've got, I said this before, we've got a lot of you listening by radio, should be telling your friends on social media right now, on our multiple platforms, aclj.org, Twitter, Periscope. If you're on Facebook, let me tell you what we'd like you to do right now. Share this feed with your friends. It is really important to do that. We get a lot more people involved in the conversation, and we've got a lot of people involved in this conversation going on right now. Millions across the country, people around the world. You putting this up with your friends, you share it, it makes a huge difference. Let me encourage you, as we're doing talking right now, this is the moment to share it. Go ahead and share this with your friends. I'm going to take another call. Carl's calling on line one from Delaware. And by the way, if you want to talk to me on air, 1-800-684-3110. Carl.
Jay, yes. I am a contributor to your organization.
Thank you.
And I'm just a plea with everybody that's listening. Can you imagine what we would have to deal with if you guys weren't there? And I just ask everybody to support your organization. Anytime they want to contribute, It's so easy, and I just am so grateful, and I God bless your organization. Thank you.
All right, let me tell you this, and I appreciate you saying that, and Carl, we appreciate your support. These issues that are being raised cover both every hat I wear, whether it's as counsel to the president or the ACLJ. I mean, these are core constitutional issues, and this was a core constitutional issue that we dealt with, literally dealt with just in California. The decision just came out yesterday. It is a core constitutional issue that we're dealing with right now on air. These are big issues, and I want to say something on this because I think it's important for everybody to understand. We have to be prepared to defend the integrity of the Constitution from an onslaught that is taking place right now. And Than, you worked on Capitol Hill for a long time, but I will tell you, I've been around this for 40 years. I've never seen anything like I'm seeing right now with the threats and the intimidation. And if you don't do it our way, if you don't waive your privileges, if Rudy Giuliani doesn't disclose attorney-client information, it could be contempt, and we're going to arrest the attorney general. I mean, this is beyond absurd.
Beyond absurd, Jay, and two things. One, I think the American people have to be prepared for this to move quickly as well because it's unraveling, but I don't think House Democrats will walk away from it. Instead, I think they will accelerate it, so people have to be prepared to move quickly on it. Secondly, I would say this to Carl, Jay. I mean, we try very hard to educate people on these constitutional provisions, separations of power, and all the rest. All we can do is put it out there, though, Jay, as well as do the work. We need people to actually listen, to hear the truth, and then to stand with us in educating themselves. Because ultimately, Jay, these federal officials, whether they're part of the executive branch or the legislative branch, they're coming back to the American people to validate what they've done, constitutional or otherwise. So we need people like Carl to stand with us, get educated, and then take appropriate action.
I mean, here's the thing. This is an intimidation tactic coming from those that want to undercut the Constitution. That's my view, number one. Number two, let me say this. We have out an ACLJ email right now that goes into this. We talk about this. We've got a brand new petition up at ACLJ.org that you need to sign. And the first line of it says the left is criminalizing the execution of the Constitution. I believe that's exactly the case. That was exactly what was going on in California. That is exactly what's going on when they say, no, what you can't assert attorney-client privilege. No, we don't care about executive privilege. No, we don't care about doctrines undercutting whether they have the authority to exercise their jurisdiction under their provisions of the Constitution without forming the committees appropriately. You realize there is no formal impeachment investigation going on. This inquiry is this half step. It's a political theater to appease their base. The big press announcement today was mostly, you know, can we get the president to mandate that he violate his oath of office? Why do I say that? Because they're saying, oh, you don't need to look at the Constitution. You don't need to look at these requirements. We haven't gotten into the fact that the president was perfectly within his rights in that entire letter. We've been talking about that for a week. But you notice what they're not talking about today? The letter. I mean, I say the letter, the transcript. Notice the transcript's not a big part of the conversation. No quid pro quo anymore. None of that. What is it now? That was cover-up. Well, it's not that. Now what is it? If you don't give us the information, you're obstructing justice. They tell that to my colleague, who is a lawyer for the president, as if attorney-client privilege doesn't exist, because in their view, it doesn't. Guess what? It does. All right, we're taking a break, but we're only taking a break for 1 minute, so we're going to be here. And we're going to stay live for our social media feeds. You're going to have us live during this break. What I'd like everybody to do, again, share it with your friends. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. Let me tell you this. Very important. We've got a petition that's up. If you don't get our email alerts, you're really a great way to stay engaged and informed. Follow us, me, Jay Sekulow, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ. You can follow us on Twitter. Also, sign up at ACLJ.org for our email alerts. We're back with a lot more. We come back from this break, and during this break, I got some more news for you. Stay tuned.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So let's take a little history lesson here, unless the history's for about a week old. That's all it is. It's about a week old. So let's talk about some history. Let me give you a little history right here. Here's some history for you. This issue started because of a whistleblower complaint. It was deemed urgent. In the complaint, the whistleblower, so-called whistleblower, says that this was not based primarily on firsthand knowledge. Most of the information contained in my report is not based on firsthand knowledge, but I think the people that told me are credible. So basically that means most of it is hearsay. So that's number one. The first attack is, this is a quid pro quo. The president was saying, if you don't do this, I'm not going to give you that. Then the transcript's out. Well, no quid pro quo. Then it's, he's putting pressure on a government or asking other governments to comply with Attorney General Barr and U.S. Attorney Durham's investigation, which, by the way, is constitutionally not only appropriate, we have treaty obligations on both sides on this, so they had to respond too. Then it's a cover-up. What's the cover-up? The document was released. The transcript is released. So I want you to think about what's going on here. Now what is it? The big press conference today. This is what Nancy Pelosi says. Take a listen. This is number 21.
I hope that you understand, and I suspect that you do, the seriousness of the President of the United States saying he wants to interview that person. We will treat the President with fairness in the as we go forward.
I want to stop right there. I hope that you understand, and I suspect you will, the seriousness of the President of the United States saying he wants to interview this person, the so-called whistleblower. If they're going to base an article of impeachment on an anonymous source, what kind of due process and trial is that? And you don't get to confront the witness. And by the way, right now they're saying we don't even get to ask questions of the witness. So I'm not even done through her statement yet. But think about this for a moment. We've got this whistleblower. We got to protect the whistleblower status. People understand that. But if you're going to then use it as a basis for an impeachment, and you do not, let me underscore here, and you do not, and I think this is important to understand, and you do not allow the cross-examination of the witness, you do not allow a confrontation of the accuser, you don't let your lawyers be able to ask questions of witnesses, period, which is what they have right now in the Judiciary Committee, I don't think it, you know, people are calling it a kangaroo court. I don't think that's fair to kangaroo courts. That's how absurd this is. Now let me play you the rest of the statement.
Investigations and questioning that are worthy of the Constitution of the United States. It's unworthy of the Constitution of the United States to do what he did in that call. And he admitted to me, he said, it's perfect. No, it's not perfect. It's wrong.
What exactly violated a rule, law, or regulation in that phone call? What exactly is the rule, regulation violated in that phone call? I'm waiting for that. And the truth of the matter is, remember the big news the other day was the call with Australia, and then that kind of faded out. And why did it fade out? Why did that call fade out in the news and not be a factor any longer? I'm going to tell you why. All right? Let me tell you right now why. Because the president has the constitutional right, authority, and obligation to do that. And guess what? There's a real investigation going on how this nonsense started in the first place. 2.5 years of Bob Mueller's romp through whatever that was, and you saw what it was when he testified, and now this, an anonymous source, and they're going to base they're talking about basing an article of impeachment on an anonymous source. I mean, I want that to sink in for a moment. So what are they going to do? They're going to put a chair there with no person in it, and they're going to distort the person's voice, and the lawyers can't ask questions. You know, under the Clinton impeachment matter, the minority party, which happened to be the Democrats, were allowed to subpoena witnesses. Not so here. Different rules, different regulations. You know what stands in the way of all that? Exactly what happened in California. The United States Constitution. It is that straightforward. It is that basic. And we will not be intimidated. And Rudy Giuliani's not going to be intimidated. And the president's not going to be intimidated by the theatrics going on in the House of Representatives right now as if the Constitution does not exist. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
As I said, share this with your friends on radio and on TV and on Facebook and Periscope and Twitter, wherever you're watching. Let me tell you this. We just broke down what the Constitution says, what Nancy Pelosi is saying, and I'm going to go take your phone calls. We're going to go right to Tom in Massachusetts. But, folks, this is very, very serious. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Sorry, I'm not a real political guy, but just listening to all this on TV, isn't there some laws with this guy, I think it was Shafe, the one that paraphrased the call to Ukraine to the president?
Yeah, well, that wasn't, by the way, a paraphrase. He went up and he did a false statement. I mean, we have it. I'm going to play it for you. I think it's worth playing this again. He has the actual transcript from the phone call, right? So everybody that's listening right now or watching, he has the actual transcript. Why? Because we released it. Does he read the actual transcript? No. What does he do instead? Take a listen.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country. Very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it, on this and on that. I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him, trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum, in character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine. It would be funny if it wasn't such a graphic betrayal.
It's not actually, Adam Schiff, is not funny at all, because let me find where the word reciprocity is in that transcript. It doesn't exist. Where's the word make up dirt? It doesn't exist. Where's the word lots of it? It doesn't exist. Where's it don't call me back again till you've done this? It doesn't exist. You made it up. It was a false statement. And you were using it for dramatic effect, but you wouldn't use the transcript for dramatic effect because the transcript doesn't say that. I want you to understand what is actually at play here, what's actually at stake here. This is fundamental to how we operate as a constitutional republic. You have a leader of the House of Representatives get up and just pull that stunt a few days ago, which, by the way, I think when you look at the history of this, put a mark by that date and a mark by that statement. Because that will tell you what this actually is all about. This is theater. But what's put at risk here is the United States Constitution. Make no mistake about it. And Harry, you talked about this yesterday. is a very important phrase. Harry's talking about weaponizing the Constitution while it's being executed, turning it into a weapon, basically.
Absolutely. So if you look at the transcript of the phone call, it completely exonerates the president of the United States. And so the question becomes, why is that the case? Simply because the four corners of the transcript, the document, comply with the president's Article 2, Section 2 powers within the meaning of the Constitution, as well as his powers under Article 2, Section 3, to take care that the laws are faithfully executed. These powers include America's treaty obligations with Ukraine. What the Democrats conveniently forget in their attempt to criminalize the president's activity is that President Bill Clinton negotiated a treaty to counter criminal activity with the Ukraine. The purpose of the U.S.-Ukraine treaty is clear: to counter criminal activities more effectively, and the treaty was designed to provide for a broad range of cooperation in criminal matters. And that is precisely what the president sought in his phone call with the president of Ukraine. He was requesting information consistent with his constitutional power and consistent with our treaty obligations with the Ukraine. So effectively, the Democrats are seeking to criminalize the president's exercise of his constitutional authority. This makes no sense. It turns the Constitution upside down.
All right, so I want to say something here on that point, because I think it's very important. I think what Harry said underscored very important. He's got a great piece up. Harry and I have a great piece up at ACLJ.org. We've sent that out on our social media platforms. You get it. If you're not getting our emails, folks, you really need to be getting them. If you're not following us on Twitter and Facebook, you need to be doing that. I'm going to go to a call here because I think it's important to keep you, the audience, engaged in this. Nancy is on line 5. She's calling us. Nancy, go ahead, please.
Yes, Jay, thank you for all you do. You're telling us to let others know, and I have a question. It seems like the leftists are not waiting for the voters to elect a socialist candidate or more leftist congressman. They're bypassing government by the people by using, as Adam Schiff referred to, weight of the federal law enforcement to create case law that they can use to rewrite law and the Constitution.
Well, that's precisely what they're doing. So it's very important for everybody to understand what they're doing here. You understand how this is moving on multiple parts in a day are moving, and they're moving their narratives differently because it's not sticking. It doesn't work because the facts don't bear it out. So that's what's happened here. Yesterday it was attack Rudy Giuliani and Mike Pompeo. And then the day before it was Attorney General Barr. Then it's constantly the president. But you know what? There's an election coming in 2020. If they had confidence that they could win the election, just go do an election. Bring up all these issues, but don't do the shenanigans where we're going to say that the president is wanting to confront the accuser, and we think that's inappropriate, except you're saying you're going to base an article impeachment on it. I think that points to exactly, Fan, what is at play here. Exactly what is at play. Fan, go ahead.
It's ruled by elitist mob fiat.
Yeah,
I mean, look, it goes into the ruling of yesterday as well. That was a decision by the American voters, and the state of California was trying to overturn it. Just two very quick data points, Jay. I mean, 12 senators were here when both of those treaties that Harry mentioned were ratified. So that was the Article 1 branch enforcing and confirming the Article 2 power that the president has. Jay, but just I want to give the temperature of Washington, D.C. right now to the caller. This is something that was tweeted out by a senior member of the House Democrat Caucus, Maxine Waters. She said, impeachment is not good enough for Trump. He needs to be imprisoned and placed in solitary confinement. But for now, impeachment is the imperative.
I mean,
that's the tenor of Washington, D.C. right now.
So let me ask you this. If you're the president's lawyer and that kind of nonsense coming out from the committee, you can even give this impeachment inquiry the time of day? They're wondering why we're looking at all the constitutional options here, why we're raising concerns over compliance with subpoenas that violate attorney-client privilege or executive privilege. They're wondering why we're doing that. They think that that's, something out of the ordinary. Why would you subject this is like the Bob Mueller nonsense all over again. Were you going to submit the president of the United States to that nonsense? I will never forget When Bob Mueller was asked the question about, you remember they said collusion? And then it was conspiracy, and he said, well, yeah. And they asked him about collusion. He said, well, I don't use the phrase collusion. And I think it was page 108, where they said, for the purposes of our discussion, collusion is conspiracy. And, of course, there was none. Then it was obstruction, but they couldn't make a conclusion, but the Justice Department did. There was none. Then it was a phone conversation with the Ukraine. Then it was quid pro quo, but there was none. Then what was after the quid pro quo? Aha! The president asked for reciprocity, make it up dirt, lots of it, don't call. Except none of that, Adam Schiff, was actually in the transcript because it didn't exist. Then it was, what was Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, doing on a call with the foreign leader? I don't know, acting as Secretary of State. Why is Bill Barr calling other governments and asking the president to reach out? I don't know. We have treaty obligations that mandate those governments to reach out, for us to reach out to them and them to respond. And there is a real criminal investigation going on as to what happened here. And what this is the light of this is about to be shown on the people that were involved in setting up this charade in the first place. And that's what this is, a charade in the first place. And Harry, I think that we, with the piece that we've got up and what you've been uncovering on all this, is showing what a nonsensical situation this is, and that the fact the procedures they put in place in themselves violate the Constitution of the United States.
I think you're precisely correct. So deep state actors are attempting or trying to thwart President Trump's effort to ferret out information on possible criminal activity involving U.S. actors in connection with the whole Russia collusion narrative that collapsed under the ponderous weight of the special counsel's investigation. Essentially, they want to criminalize the president's pursuit of Ukrainian information regarding possible ethical, unethical, or possibly criminal activity in connection with the 2016 election and with respect to other U.S. citizens' possible criminal activity. The president has a constitutional role which the legislative branch cannot constrain. Nonetheless, they're attempting to do it.
You understand, folks, exactly what's at play here. You understand that the Constitution of the United States is being undercut. It was an attempt in California. We won. It's been an attempt in other jurisdictions, and we're winning. But you understand what Congress is trying to do here. They're trying to set up a straw man, the whistleblower. But the president can't confront the whistleblower. His lawyers can't confront the whistleblower with questions or cross-examination. So they're going to have an article of impeachment on anonymous? You think that's what the founders had in mind? You think that's what a high crime and misdemeanor trial in the United States Senate would be, or in the House of Representatives? An impeachment proceeding in the House of Representatives? Do you really think so? I don't.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. We're going to play that video of that tune right after the broadcast today on social media. So you're going to want to share it with your friends and get everybody involved. Let me tell you something. You understand what's going on here. Adam, I want to play this Nancy Pelosi bite again. It's so important. I'm going to try to get to these calls, but I want to play the Nancy Pelosi bite. It's that important here. Take a listen.
I hope that you understand, and I suspect that you do, the seriousness of the President of the United States saying he wants to interview that person.
Nancy Pelosi, wait a minute. You hope we understand the seriousness of the President of the United States, which means his counsel, to interview this individual. This individual, you mean that you're starting an impeachment inquiry over? So you're going to have an impeachment inquiry. We're not going to be able to cross-examine witnesses. We're not going to be able to cross-examine. We're not going to even interview this witness. You're doing this anonymously because under the whistleblower statute, I get it. But then don't base it as an article of impeachment if you're not going to put the witnesses up. What are they going to do? Have an empty chair and play a distorted audio video? That's what I said earlier. That's what it sounds like they're going to do. I guess that's the plan here. But this tells you what is at play. Let's go right to Jeff in Texas. Jeff, you're on the air.
Jay, for all you do, just hear me out and I'll hang up. Can Adam Schiff be subpoenaed to testify for all his lying and how he's going after the president?
He could. The Senate could subpoena him, I guess. I mean, they have these floor privileges. There's all kind of legal issues there. So I don't think the subpoena is the answer on Adam Schiff. I've got to think through the legal process of that, but I will tell you what is the answer. Don't get up there and say words that did not exist. Reciprocity, make up dirt, lots of it. Don't call me back until you've done it. It's not in the transcript, so he makes it up. That's like accusing someone. I mean, I had this in it. This was a basic law school exam. If someone went across the streets and robbed a bank, are they guilty of robbery? Well, if they went across the street and robbed the bank, they'd be guilty of robbery. The question is, did they go across the street and rob the bank? So here you have the actual transcript, so you don't have to make up a hypothetical. They don't want to use the transcript because the transcript didn't work. Quid pro quo did not work. The transcript did not work. The cover-up doesn't work. Now it's let's get Mike Pompeo and the Attorney General and Rudy Giuliani. And that's not going to work. And that's really what's at play here. I'm going to go to the next phone call. Let's go to Bob. Bob, you're on there. Go ahead, please. Very important. Go,
Thank
Bob.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
Since the whistleblower law was passed by Congress, why can the definition of law change without congressional approval? It was first-hand information. Now it's second-hand information.
Well, that's a good point. We still haven't gotten to the bottom of exactly how that all transpired. And by the way, the whistleblower themselves put in their report, you know, Nancy Pelosi or the Inspector General came out and said, oh, this was first-hand knowledge. The whistleblower themselves put in the report. So, again, I want you to follow this. Put in the report, this is not first-hand knowledge. Most of this is not. This was, but the whistleblower found it to be credible. Let's get the exact line up there. I want that exact line to be posted so I can read it, because that's what was actually said here. That was what the reality of what was said in this conversation. And Harry, that's really what's at stake.
Absolutely. So what's really at stake here is the credibility of the so-called whistleblower. And it is very doubtful that the whistleblower can withstand a careful and impartial examination if the whistleblower does not have first-hand knowledge and the whistleblower admits that he or she relied on media reports.
So, folks, I know what the Inspector General sent out in that press release yesterday, but I want everybody that's listening right now to really listen to this. If you're watching, watch this. Share it with your friends right now because it's important. This is out of the whistleblower's urgent report on the forms. Quote, I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. What that means is I was not a direct witness to most of the events that are described in this urgent whistleblower report. What does that mean? That most of what I know is secondhand information. Yet Nancy Pelosi wants to say this is the basis upon which an impeachment inquiry could start. But, Than, I still think this is, I know you think it's more likely that they do move it to impeachment. I still think this is so much theater. So I saw it in that conference today that all the hype, it ends up being the usual nonsense. Go ahead.
Well, the line you just played, Jay, is why Chairman Schiff didn't use direct evidence when he was reading it, because the direct evidence does not fit his narrative. Look, I do think that House Democrats have already made their decision. I don't think this was ever based on merits, and I think they will charge ahead because they're not concerned with the merits. If they were, they wouldn't be moving ahead. But, Jay, I would say this to you, too.
What a political risk for them, though, Van, if they do it. I mean, the political blowback, the reaction from Republicans and conservatives generally is, I mean, it's look at just the sheer, we could tell. Anybody could tell what's going on right now. Go ahead and finish.
Well, it's a beautiful thing about our republic. Ultimately, the American voters will get their say, and I agree with you. I don't think 2020 will be kind to those who back this. The one last point, though, Jay, they've defended this kind of one-sided inquisition of him ever since back when they used the FISA court to do it. This is not a new tactic for them.
All right, so John is on line four. John, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hello, Jay. Yes. God bless you. Thanks. And the team at the ACLJ.
Thank you.
Is there anything under the Constitution that deals with absurd lawsuits, subpoenas, and legal maneuverings? I mean,
yeah, no, there is. Look, I mean, I've said this. I'm going to say it again. I think it's you raise a really important point, John, and that is, look, I'm the president's counsel. I'm the counsel, one of the counsel of the president. Rudy Giuliani is counsel of the president. We have to look at every one of these issues through the lens of the Constitution, the lens of appropriate and applicable privileges, and we're not just going to say, here's stuff. This is not the way it works. Privileges will be respected, whether Adam Schiff likes it or not. And to say that's a basis because you're asserting your privileges, that becomes somehow a basis for impeachment, is frankly, Harry, absurd.
Absolutely. So I think Adam Schiff has gotten the Constitution exactly backward. First, it's important to note that Article III courts will have something to say about any of the subpoenas issued by the House. Number two, the United States Constitution separates Article I, the legislative branch, from Article II, the executive branch, and also gives power to Article III judges. So simply requesting information does not necessarily mean that the legislative branch has the right to the information. Adam Schiff doesn't understand the law.
He knows it, though. I think he knows it. He just doesn't want to acknowledge it. But I'm going to read the full thing from this. I like looking at the evidence. I was not a direct witness to most of the events described. Okay, so most of the events are hearsay. That means from somebody else. However, I found my colleagues' accounts of these events to be credible. We don't even know if the colleagues were firsthand information. However, I found my colleagues' accounts of the events to be credible. This is not the basis of an article of impeachment. This is, understand what happened. Russia didn't work. No collusion. No conspiracy. No obstruction. No quid pro quo on Ukraine. No cover-up. Go after Bill Barr. Go after Mike Pompeo, who's doing his job as Secretary of State. Understand what all this is. Political theater. Now, look, we're ending the broadcast, but I want to tell you, for all of you that are watching right now on Facebook or Periscope or on any of the social media platforms, we're on ACLJ.org. We've got something coming up for you in just right after we're done, it's going to go right to it. We had a lot of fun doing this. I'm going to encourage you again, everybody that's watching on a social media platform, share this with your friends. We're going to have more analysis on this tomorrow. You can rest assured of that. We're going to have a lot of fun in about 10 seconds. So don't share it with your friends right now on Facebook and Periscope, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Here we go.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member.